Hello and welcome to a special show from In the Money Media, special presentation as well. This is the latest episode, the Kentucky Derby episode of Racing with Roman Season 2. Over the course of the last several weeks, I've done so many different shows, talked about this Derby up and down, but now I get to do so with the horse player slash handicapper who's been the hottest of anybody over the course of the last several weeks on these shows. Can't wait to hear how his opinion has evolved on the big race and some of his thoughts on the undercard. We'll bring him in now. He is the sponsor of this show, an owner, a gambler, Lawrence Roman. Larry, what's going on, buddy?
How are you, Pistol? I am so excited for this Kentucky Derby. I am going to be making a very large bet because I am very, very confident. You may not be aware, but back in 2008, I was on HRTV, which is now and we were in the paddock, and for charity, I was painting a picture of Big Brown after the second race. And HRTV came to me and they said, the race is not for another 5 hours. How are you having this picture painted? I was donating $30,000 to charity. How could you do that? The race hasn't started. I said, as far as I'm concerned, the race is ended. Big Brown's going to win by 4 to 5 lengths. And, you know, there's really no drama here. You can build it up, but there's no drama. And, you know, everybody thought I was crazy. But of course, the horse won for fun. And so there were two other times, one publicly where I called a horse that I had named Dr. Kathy, a first-time starter at Aqueduct, and people were screaming. The horse got last, and I was at Monticello. I said, this horse can't lose. The horse broke last. And everybody's screaming at me because they bet it. And then the horse went by 3 lengths going away with Rick Dutcho. So today is going to be one of those days. With extreme confidence, I will let you know it's going to win. We're not up to there now. What I would like to talk about, because I do love the Derby, and the only experience that I had really where I felt part of it was when Big Brown was running. And Big Brown, the story goes, I was in a suite, 21C, with somebody named Laura Lee, and I forgot the gentleman's name, but they, oh God. Yeah, sorry. The gentleman was, I can't remember his name, but it was a beautiful suite. And I was in there with Caroline Kennedy and her husband. I think his name was Edward Schlossberg, and Ted Turner and his wife. It was a really interesting day. And Ted Turner's a really interesting guy, I got to tell you. But what was the fun part was they thought I was part of the Big Brown contingent because I had sold half of my horse, Lawrence the Roman, earlier, I think it was the year before, and they valued him at $2 million. They bought half, and the horse ran a bad race and injured himself in a race, and I gave them back the money. So I got invited down to the Derby, and they had police escorts for me. And I remember Hugh Hefner. There was a Hugh Hefner party. Anyway, he was like that. I think at that time he was like 85 years old. And it was just a tremendous experience. And Big Brown won easily. And it was a really, really, really exciting day. So now I'll be watching from the Meadowlands. I will not be at the Derby. I think I'm past that point, unless I have a horse that's racing in there. I'd rather just watch it calmly and enjoy where we're at. But that's my Derby, my best remembrance of the Kentucky Derby days. I've been pretty good at picking them. Of course, we've had some wild winners that in a million years I could never pick these horses that are paying $100 and $80. And I remember Calvin Borrell, you know, guy would just, they'd open it up for him, and this guy would come through with horses that, you know, to me were claimers and win the races. So you never know for sure. But I think this Derby, I do know for sure. And when we get around to that race, we'll talk about that.
Well,
go ahead.
People who are longtime listeners are going to know already who we're talking about, but I like preserving the drama because there is a lot of new people around here, and I'm excited to hear, again, just how your opinion has evolved as we've gotten closer with all that new information. Did you consider coming down here because of, you know, how connected you felt to this horse since the start of his racing career?
No, I didn't, because... like I said, I've been there, I've done that. I couldn't have had a better experience than the Big Brown Win. I remember running into the winner's circle, and in those days I was in really good shape, and the police escort couldn't keep up with me. That was good. I mean, now I have bad knees. I could never run down to. I wouldn't have made it. But there, I was running like a 6-minute mile into the winner's circle. That was let's see, how many years ago was that? 16 years ago. Okay, so no. Now I'm gonna watch. I like to watch remotely, and I will enjoy the race. Not as much as if they let Baffert in. You know, I've been critical. I think it's terrible what Churchill has done. There must be some reasoning behind it. I don't get it. I don't get it. They don't have to answer to me, but I think it's wrong, and I have to say the truth. I think the world of Bob Baffert, I think the world of Todd Fletcher, I mean, these guys are just legends upon legends. They could have their own Hall of Fame just having those two trainers. That's how big these guys are. And to ban one of them is just... I don't get it. But I don't make the rules. I only follow the rules. So we'll do the best we can with what we have.
Chad Brown had a funny quote the other day that winning this Derby would be a little bit like when the Houston Rockets won the NBA championship those 2 years that Michael Jordan was off playing baseball. So the other trainers, you know what you're saying in terms of the impact Baffert's had. But like you say, it is what it is. And maybe it'll give us some podcast fodder as we go forward heading into Baltimore in 2 weeks' time. Surely it will. Let's talk about these races today, Larry. The first one you mentioned, interestingly, not one of the many stakes today. You did want to talk quickly about race number 3 that happens at 11:30 a.m. So you're going to have to, if you're listening to this now, throw on the TV because it's not going to be too far before this one's on. There are a couple of scratches here, track listed as muddy at the moment. You can take out the 5 and the 6, leaving us with a field of 9. Who did you like in here?
Well, I mean, this is another luck of the century. The 11 horse Mind Frame. I saw him race at Gulfstream. I bet him that day. I saw the money was coming in. I really like this Constitution. I mean, I love the breeding here. Constitution, Street Sense on the dam side. I mean, this is giving you stamina and class and the ability to come from behind. And I think we had talked about this horse.
Yep.
And,
we tipped him.
And I said, this horse is great. I don't just tell you that the horse is going to win. I told you how the horse would win, which is to come from behind and draw away, which is what he did. And I think that's important to, like, not get lucky, but really understand the horse. Now, this horse was better than I thought he would be. I thought he'd probably win by 2, 2.5. But he just ran away, and he was so powerful at the end. So now he moves into the 9 post. I actually like them with the 11 post, even though I don't like outside posts. I hate outside posts. But this horse is in a different planet. I mean, this horse could have been a Kentucky Derby possibility if he had been matured. Now, I don't know why he only has one race, you know, this late in the game. Whether it's soundness problems or he just needed to develop, you'll have to ask Todd Fletcher about that. But to me, he definitely has the ability to be a Triple Crown type of horse. So I think he's going to win easily, probably by, let's call it, 3 lengths. So now we have to look at the interesting horses for second. and that comes with the 1 and 2. I look at both of them. The two I like the best, Vasecki, because he's curling out of Bernardini, and that's maturing. Though that kind of breeding on both sides will get better and better and better. And if you look at his buyers, he's 73, 78, he's 82. Today he'll probably be 86 or 87, and that should be enough to get him for second. Of course, the one horse, I mean, he ran a, couldn't have done much more in his first start, but it was at Tampa. He won as a favorite. He won easily. I just don't think he has as much class as Cornishman, but definitely a possibility for second. And that's it. There's nobody else. I think it's real easy. Do you see it any differently than that?
No, it's always more fun when we can argue a little bit, but I don't think there's much arguing with you about Mind Frame. He does have to answer the question about the distance, but he's certainly shaped like one on debut for whom the distance would be no problem. And coming out of that 7-furlong race, that might just give him the speed to go right to the lead here and discourage all the other speed. And then I like your ideas of the two horses to come running in for underneath. You know, it really seems straightforward. For me, I might not mess around with Exactas when I have one this strong. I think if he's somehow a backable price, better than even money, might keep it simple with a win bet, or he might just be a free square for all the various pick bets that are going on. But yeah, that is going to be a fun one, and a horse that there are circumstances that could land him in the Belmont Stakes if everything goes right. I can't see Pletcher bringing him back in 2 weeks for the Preakness, especially not if what happens later in the Derby that we think is going to happen happens. But obviously a horse to keep an eye on and a reason to start watching before the stakes portion of the card. Shall we leap ahead to a little bit later?
Yes, let's go to the 7th.
Excellent. Race number 7th. We're into the stakes portion of the card. We're looking at the Distaff Mile. We're obviously a mile on the turf. This one stayed clean, so we've got the big full field of 12 in here. Definitely, I thought some interest. Oh, I lied. The 10 runner is out. Infinite Diamond. But this is the spot where Heavenly Sunday ends up. I thought this was a really competitive race, but I did have a strong lean. I'll let you give your thought first, and then I'll chime in with what I thought was going to happen in the Distaff Mile.
Okay. I don't have a strong lean, but I think it is a really excellent race where you're going to get a price. And as you know from past, I don't like betting favorites, even though I just gave out a favorite. I just gave out a favorite because I think that's a favorite worth betting. But here, there's some really interesting horses. So I look at horses. The 1 certainly has a chance. The 3 has a chance. The 6 has a chance. And the 8 has a chance. And maybe I could even argue this Kingman coming in from Great Britain, the 11. I don't really like him, but I think he's got, you know, he would shock the world, put it that way. But the horse I'm leaning on is the 6 horse. And he's 8-1 in the morning line. And this, again, is a breeding angle. Because when you're young horses and you see them develop, you really have to look at their bloodlines to see if they're going to continue to mature and continue to improve. He's only had 4 starts. He's a 4-year-old. But you just look, again, he ascends. He gets better each start. His last start, he had the outside post, battled the whole way and drew off. Medaglia d'Oro on the sire, who is just all class. We all know that. And on the dam side, Warfront, which is all grass and stamina. And so 6-1 is such a nice price on this horse. He's done nothing wrong. You have Tyler Gaffley on there. And I just have the feeling that this horse is going to be in the position. He's going to be pushing right at the end. He's not a lock. But at 6-1, I'm definitely using this horse. And I'm using him up and down with the 1, the 3, and the 8. Those are the horses that I think also look really, really good. Trip's going to matter. Pace is going to matter. But at the end of the day, price, you know, when you're a handicapper, you're betting odds.
Yep.
So if the true odds of this horse winning are 3-1, and you're getting 6-1, the odds are in your favor. If the true odds of him winning are 3-1 and he's going off at 8-5, the odds are against you. So that's the thing, which is, of course, we don't know the odds when we're talking about it. So I base it on what the morning line is giving you, which looks reasonable. You know, looks reasonable. It's a tough field and everything like that. At that price, I'm all in on him. What do you say?
It's interesting because we're a little bit opposed here, even though we both like Chad Brown runners and neither of us likes the Chad Brown favorite. I would describe myself on the other Chad Brown horse, and you might be on the other Chad Brown horse, though I guess that could go either direction. I suppose your Delahaye, the 6, could be bet more than my number 11, Coppice. But Coppice is a filly I've followed for a while, and I was very, very impressed with her runs around Royal Ascot. I mean, that's Sandringham that she won at Ascot. It's listed here as a handicap, and it is a handicap, but it's as good as a grade one race in the USA, really. I mean, you got to consider she's racing against 28 other fillies in that spot. I've always liked her. I think she's going to be suited by these conditions. They do such a good job of finding the ones that are going to do well on USA-style ground. Now, granted, there might be a little cut in it today, but I think it'll still largely be USA-style ground and going left-handed and reuniting with Dettori, who's been on for both of the last two wins, can only be seen as a positive. The post isn't great, but I think there's enough pace in here. He'll be able to drop in and do his thing. In terms of other horses to use, I think you've mentioned them all. One other I might throw in underneath is the 12 runner, Mission of Joy. Very, very difficult post, but I thought she ran sort of sneaky well in that Pegasus filly and mare turf race to Didia on a day we did a show also. I just thought she moved into the fastest part of that race after a difficult beginning. I think coming back now and just her second start of the year off this break, I just think she'll be overpriced and a good one for underneath. And yeah, so I'm going to take a similar approach to you, but I'm going to be cycling the 11 in with all the other numbers you mentioned as well as the 12. That sound reasonable to you? Did I talk you on to maybe including Coppice at all? It won't cost you that much more to throw her in.
Yeah, I would say not to. Maybe like a piece, you know. I like the people who bet. If you bet picks, you use $10 pick with this horse and a $2 pick with,
yep,
with the 11, you know, that kind of thing. Because the horse, it, you know, certainly has a possibility, especially with the Tory who wins with horses that look like they have no shot. So the horse, yeah, okay. I mean, look, it's a wide open race. I just like this 6 horse.
I get her. She's improving. You know, we just yesterday we saw Chad Brown win with the longer priced of an uncoupled entry with dynamic pricing. I mean, his are all, you know, the market very often separates them more than their talent should separate them. And Chili Flag, who's a legit contender, I think she's the one that's going to catch most of the money, making both of ours value. That was my thought in the race.
Yep. I mean, you know, and the way the race is going to set up, it looks to me like the 9 is going to be on the lead.
Yes.
Right. So you got a couple of other horses. The 8 horse could break out of there for sure. The 6 will be looking for position.
One should go.
On the rails should be going. So, you know, Chad's Chili Flag definitely has a chance there, you know, because there's going to be a fast pace and this horse does close strongly. And that's why I'm using the 6 up and down with the horses that I like. I'm not going to use the 11 only simply because he's outside. And, you know, I don't know these races when they come in. I tend to like the Irish horses. Don't ask me why. But I just think the Irish horses overall, with those European horses, they always seem better than the French horses and the Great Britain horses. But you have a lot more knowledge of that, you know, out of the country European races. So maybe I'll throw it in for a little bit, okay? But I think it's a really, really good race, and I think it should be really exciting. And I think tactics in that race, more than probably any other race, are going to determine who wins that race.
Makes sense to me.
A fun one.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Such a great day of racing, really. You know, it is Breeders' Cup-esque with so many good competitive ones. Where shall we head next?
I don't know. You tell me.
Pat Day Mile. Pat, you love your three-year-olds. We've got the 1 mile on a dirt here. You sent me the notes. I don't have the notes in front of me of exactly where we were meant to go next.
Okay,
but
we're going to the eighth.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's an interesting race also. You know, I looked at these horses. It's hard to get a real top line on them. Are there any scratches in this race?
This one is clean as of now. All 12 will go. Yeah, it looks very competitive, but the more I looked, the more one was standing out to me. If you want me to go first on this one, happy
you
to.
You go first so I could copy you for
saying. So I thought that the 8, Top Connor, was an interesting narrative about this horse heading into the Bluegrass in that he was originally supposed to run in New York and sort of last minute rerouted to the Bluegrass. And then he went out there and, you know, it was a mile and an eighth race and he was running fractions like it was a mile race. I'm not saying he was a rabbit for Sierra Leone in there, but I'm thinking they thought the best strategy would be to have him be as aggressive as possible on the front end. And hey, if it didn't work out for him, it probably would set up for Sierra. That's exactly what happened. I don't think there's any question. Cutting back to a mile is going to suit this horse. When you look at the speed figure, he ran to the mile last time. Basically, it would convert to over 100 on the buyer speed figure scale. I think he's going to get a great lead into the race from Vlejos on the outside. I think he'll just spy that horse, attack on the turn. I think he's going to be able to get the job done. I do respect some of these others. It's not an absolute slam dunk, but this is a horse that I have a strong fancy for, and I will definitely be betting. And if not singling in picks, probably putting 80% of my pick money through Top Connor. He's in there to win today, and I think he's going to just get a beautiful trip.
Okay. I will disagree.
That's when it's the most fun.
I will say why I disagree. One thing with racehorses, I always like, you know, sometimes horses get, you know, rough trips and they tire, but they should be tiring late. At least be fighting down the stretch. Here's a horse that got the lead. Notice he wasn't nosed. There wasn't a horse within a nose. He had a lead, so that was a comfortable lead. Okay, it was good fraction. But this horse just collapsed. And saving him an eighth of a mile is not going to make a difference. I don't like that he has Divine Park on the damp side. I think his first race at Gulfstream was better. He came off the pace. And maybe if he sits a perfect pocket trip here, he has a chance. But I'm not betting him. I'm not using him. I don't like him. I can't find anything wrong with the 11 horse. Okay? These Camparos have been really, really exceptional at times. Certainly, they have great speed. You're looking at it and thinking, this Vallejos is going to be on the lead. He may. Or he may be stalking. I'm not sure. He'll definitely break. He'll definitely be out there. But I look at his first race. What did he do wrong? Right? He broke from the inside. Your first race, that's not easy. Right? He was battled. And then he just drew off. And so, yes, he's a cheap $35,000 yearling. You would think wouldn't have the class to handle this. I just can't, you know, I also look and say to myself, what did they sell this horse for? He ran this race, and then Doug O'Neill came, obviously, just reading through the lines, he came and bought the horse. What do you think this horse sold for?
It had to be a big, big number off that race, right? I didn't see what the private number was, but wouldn't you be surprised if it wasn't $1 million?
That's what I would think, that he paid $1 million for this horse. So now you have this trainer change. Guy paid $1 million for this horse. Those owners are not going to be happy if this horse doesn't put in a big race here. So I'm going with him. I'm going with him and thinking that he may be good enough at this point to be able to beat this field. You know, this is not the Kentucky Derby we're dealing with. Nash, everybody always talks about this horse, Nash. You know, a lot of raw speed, but it looks to me like know, he wasn't doing what expected, so they gave him an easy spot where he went off at even money. He did win easily. Certainly he's going to be part of the mix here. Godolphin stable, you know, the horse is bred to be, you know, bred for class. I'm liking him second best. I think he has a chance. I'm going against Top Conner. So this will be very exciting because we have a difference. Now, the interesting horse here is this horse, Baked Beeline. Okay. Clearly to me, you know, not a horse that I think is going to win, but he seems to have a lot of raw speed, and he may make the difference in the way the race goes. He may just, you know, with a rat on him, I think this horse is going to be flying to the lead, and so the 11 might be just sitting right off of him. And you like Top Conner, but where do you see Top Conner in the race?
I'd like to see him stalking both Beeline and Vlejos. I think Vlejos is fast enough that he is quite likely to be able to clear Beeline. But what I'd really like to see is the two of them up there with Top Conner in behind. I don't think Top Conner is some need the lead type. I think that was tactics last time. I think he'll want to run from off the pace like on debut and probably attack who's ever left of that leading duo as they're turning in this one turn mile. That's how I see it. Let me throw out one more quick one for underneath purposes only. I thought the 7 Houday was a little bit interesting. I had that Keeneland Day as favorable to speed a little bit, and he was trying to close there and was maybe against the flow of the race. Maybe if they go fast enough, especially with these three fast horses we've been talking about early, maybe Houday comes and picks up a little piece. He's another interesting one. I mean, I see your point that maybe Beeline hangs around, but maybe Houday is the one who comes late to get a little piece of this. I feel pretty good about your exactas and maybe even your tries with this group of horses we've been talking about.
What do you think of Nash? You didn't mention
him. I'm a little bit worried about him in that I feel like he has also done his best running with pretty easy trips, and I think this pace is going to be so fast that at the price, you know, if the 3-to-1 guess is right, I much prefer Vlejos and Top Conner, but he's a horse I would cycle in underneath as well in an ideal scenario, but I didn't really love him. I love what you said before about how you bet different amounts depending on how much you like the horse. This is one I'd have more as like a $2 backup underneath in my tries as opposed to the $10 ticket, you know, that I want to have with Vlejos and Top Conner and the other horse we were talking about, Houday. A lot of people are going to talk about Seize the Gray in this race. What did you make of him?
Which one is
it? He is the 5 runner, another closer.
You know, I like his bloodlines, but you know, he had 2 races. His last 2 with nothing exciting that I saw there. He won in a lower class. You know, could he get a piece of it in his 3rd? Yeah, I don't like him. I don't see him competing with these horses, even if he gets his trip. I wouldn't say he could get a check, but I don't like him.
Yeah, I'm similar. They definitely were trying to get into the Derby, and so I think if you wanted to make the case, you'd say, well, those last 2, they had Derby fever. They were going too far. Now he's back to his distance, and there's going to be a big pace in front of him. I'd probably put him in 3rd, maybe not even 2nd, but he's probably a reasonable enough horse to have for 3rd if you're willing to go for another spot there. But that's how I see the Pathé Mile. It's going to be a great race.
Yes, it is, and it's going to be leading up to that big race coming up.
Let's do it. Race number 12 is the Kentucky Derby. Encino, the 9 runner, does not go. And obviously that means with that only that one scratch, Mugatu, the 22 horses out. We're left with the field of 20, the maximum. And we've got a big favorite here in the form of Fierceness. This is a horse we've been talking about on these shows since the very beginning of season 2. As we get closer, you hear a lot of people going back and forth on this horse, Larry. There's, you know, oh, he only shows up sometimes. Maybe he needs things all his own way. I'll tell you what, I thought he had the work of the week. I think a lot of the questions are overblown. where are you right now, just 8 hours ahead of this year's Kentucky Derby, when it comes to your thoughts on fierceness?
Well, you know, let me say this. The West can't lose. Okay? Why?
I love it.
Okay. For two reasons. Number one, I mean, this horse, when he does his best work, he can have a rough trip, and he's rugged. He's just a rugged horse, as compared to last year, the horse Rapoli got in.
Forte.
Fletcher got scratched. Forte. Not in the same league as this horse. That horse had to be encouraged. Even when he won the Florida Derby, you watched him be whipped, and you didn't even think he'd get there. And this is a whole different kind of horse. I mean, this is a horse that, even with a bad trip, okay, he can went barrel to the lead, and he just keeps going. So on his ability, I give him an A+. Now I look at the rest of the field. Okay, I don't see much. I mean, clearly I don't know these Japanese horses, but from my past experience, people bet them, but they don't really do well from what I've seen. And you look at a horse like Sierra Leone, who I have tremendous respect for this horse, as the way he's improving. I love closers. I love them. This is a real solid closer. The problem is, he always has trouble at the gate. There's 20 horses in the race. Where is he going to get away? 15th, 16th. He can't go to the rail, right? Because he's got too much horse, so he's got to go overland. And how in the world is he going to catch a horse like Fierceness, who is going to break out? I think the way I see it, Track Phantom on the lead, Fierceness breaks. I mean, he should be breaking like it's a quarter horse race. I mean, really break out of the gate. If Track Phantom wants to go 45, okay, let him go 45. You take over the lead midway down the backstretch, or maybe just before coming on the turn, after sitting there, you get the lead, you open up three or four, and you just, you know, persevere with him there, and a clear-cut victory. Do I think that Sierra Leone can get second? Of course he can get second. You know, if he weaves his way in between, if the track's not muddy, where he's got too much mud thrown up in his face, you know, I know you said the track is muddy, they might scrape it. But who else is in the race? Hey, you got a great horse, and there's nobody else. I've watched these horses. Tell me who else has a chance to win this race.
Well, speed figure-wise, if Fierceness runs his race, nobody can lay a glove on him. Scenarios I could conjure for other horses to win... If Fierceness gets caught up in some battle and is part of 45 and change, which would require a huge mistake, and I don't think is going to happen, that would open it up for a lot of closers, I think, you know, because then that would bring in Sierra. It might bring in a Catching Freedom. It might even bring in an Honor Marie, a horse who's just an X factor who I don't think could be dismissed as a win possibility would be the Japanese runner Forever Young. But I don't like the fact that, you know, he's seemingly very averse to kickback on a muddy track in the Kentucky Derby. That's going to be hard. But, you know, I wouldn't fall out of my chair if he won. I guess another one that's a plausible winner. But again, anyone I'm saying is a plausible winner assumes something has gone horribly wrong with Justify's trip, because none of this beats Justify's A game. But Just a Touch is an
inch. He's not in this race.
Not Justify, Just a Touch.
Okay.
He's by Justify, but he ran a huge race, I thought, in the Bluegrass. You know, you talked about how tamely Top Connor went away in there. Well, this horse stuck on bravely to the line and was showing a very likable attitude. That was just his third start. You know, if Fierceness were to break poorly, Just a Touch is going to get an unbelievable trip, because then I think he can get the trip that we expect Fierceness to get. So I wouldn't rule... Those are the other horses that wouldn't, like, make me slap my forehead. You know, the bigger prices that I want on some tickets somewhere would include an Honor Marie and a Domestic Product. But honestly, I'm going to keep this race pretty simple. I might play a super high five for fun, but really, I don't think any of the bets I'm going to play are going to have anything other than fierceness on top. I think I'm just going to win or lose with him. I think he's special. Every sharp person I talk to, even the ones who don't like fierceness, say something that makes me like fierceness more, because they all say if he runs his race, he wins. So then it's like, okay, what's the chance he runs his race? How is the chance he runs his race any less than 50-50? He's run his race 3 out of 5, so that's 60%. It's the Derby, it's tougher, so let's take a full 10% away. That leaves it 50% he runs his race. So you're telling me you're going to give me 2-1 on an even money shot? That's bet of the year type stuff. I'm keeping it simple. I'm betting fierceness to win. What do you think in terms of wagering strategy, and are there any interesting long shots for you underneath?
Well, you know, to me, it's a bad scramble for second. Of course, Sierra Leone is the best of the rest, but where, you know, the trip is the thing I can't predict. How can you predict that with 20 horses going, where he's going to be? And that's so much why I like fierceness, because I know where he's going to be. So you're right. Your logic is correct. The horse is an even money proposition. To me, without a doubt, I said that before his last race. He's an even money horse here, and I just don't see this horse losing. Again, if he won by less than 3 lengths, I will be surprised. Now, what I will tell people, because I've watched this over and over, don't think about betting win in place. And why do I say that, right? Why everybody says just bet to win? Because with the people that are betting the Derby, they look, and this is their logic, well, I don't want to bet on fierceness, so I want to bet on a long shot for second, because maybe I can't beat fierceness. And so the place price many times is always the same as the win price.
Yeah, we've seen that.
That happens in the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes as well. So even though I don't think this horse could lose, because I think he might pay close to $6, but $5 for sure to place, I mean, it's such a smart bet. And, you know, again, in this game, we use logic, and, you know, anything can happen in a race. Anything can happen. That's for sure. I just don't see this horse losing. But in the unlikely event, you know, like when you're in the plane, in the unlikely event we go into the ocean, here's what you have to do. So,
great stuff.
In the unlikely event that he gets caught wide, gets a bad drip, and, you know, gets caught at the end, I'm betting win and place, not because I don't think he's going to win for fun, just because I think it's a smart bet based upon my experience with what these horses pay to place. And I've seen it, I think, in one of the Triple Crown races. The horse went off, I'm trying to remember the horse, that just, he finished third, second in a Triple Crown. He had won the first 2 legs. And I think he paid as much to place as he would, more to place than he would have paid to win, because everybody wanted the ticket to show that they had the $2 ticket. Meanwhile, he finished second and paid more than he was, his.
That would have been the case back in 2020 with Tis the Law. He would have played more to place than to win that day. So this does happen with heavy favorites in the Derby for all the reasons you're laying out. I think we got to get the show out in the world, my friend. I think it's time.
Let's go, baby. All right, just bet everything you have on him. Don't worry. Do not worry. Just bet him with both hands, okay?
For Larry Roman, I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your Kentucky Derby photos.
Thanks. Take care, buddy.
That was great. Bye-bye.